Welcome to Fit to Be Real
and a little extra.
How much did you enjoy the episode last week?
You know, just a little intro into our family dynamic, which you've heard before. He's been on before, but we had him in the flesh the other day.
But to be as real as we possibly can on this Fit to Be Real podcast, it was like the week from schedule hell.
Like, hell.
Everything just kept going wrong. Like, I got sick. That was the first thing.
Yeah, that was so annoying.
It was our day to record, and there's no way nobody should have listened to me sound the way that I sounded.
So we canceled that.
We aimed for Wednesday.
And then Kuka got attacked.
But Carly's dog got attacked by another dog, and it was a brutal attack. So it was a big deal, and it was rough. So, but that, you know, should have been a lighter day because it was the Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
Uh-huh.
But it ended up just being, we had guests coming in. It was wild.
It was
a wild time.
Yes, it was wild.
Thanksgiving was jam-packed. The moment we taught in the morning all the way until, you know, the end of the night.
From 5:30 a.m. to midnight.
Thank you for your time frames.
This You're welcome. Great.
And then Friday, we still had guests. And it was scheduled, and it was wild. Saturday, same thing.
I had my high school reunion that I planned.
Carly had a high school reunion Friday. 20 years, she's so old.
I know.
20 years Friday night that she was in charge of for two whole months. And
listen, I love a cram. You guys all know I love to cram. And what's better than starting a 20-year reunion 2 months ahead of time?
And then getting sick.
Yes,
so then Carly started getting sick on Friday. Saturday got sicker, but Carly had a cabaret Saturday night she had to sing. So it was a day of stress.
Yes, I think my dad and Victoria want me to go back into retirement simply because of the stress that singing brings.
Well, the best was it was like, Carly, do this. Try this. She's like, yeah, I will. Yeah, I will. But like, you didn't do anything proactive for yourself.
But that's how I am.
Oh, that is annoying.
That's how I've always been. But I literally texted Dad first thing in the morning before class. I was like, Dad, I can't do this. Like, my voice is shot from not sleeping for 5 days, talking over loud music at a reunion, teaching.
And then I said, hey, Carly, just don't do it. Like, it's okay. The world will turn. Things will be all right.
No, people were counting on me. I would never let somebody else down. And I was singing a duet.
And she sang in other things, her partner. So it was, in any case, Carly's annoying. And then Sunday was another whirlwind, but we crammed it in.
Mm-hmm.
Crammed it in last minute. I was very prepared Sunday night to record by myself for the first time and be like, this is what happens. And Carly was like, nope, coming over now with Billy. This is what we're doing. Hurry up, set up. I was like,
Billy was like, we have 2 hours before the Eagles game. Let's go.
It was wild. So that's about as real as it gets. Here's what we're talking about today.
Oh my God.
In my sickness, I watched a lot of television, but I love a documentary. So I watched a brand new documentary on Netflix. It's called Buy Now, The Shopping Conspiracy.
You know I love to shop.
And about to ruin your day. I didn't know what it was going to be about, and it's something I can't stop thinking about it.
You can't unsee it.
I can't unsee it. I can't unhear it. And I'm going to rattle off and give you kind of a synopsis. You still should watch this documentary. The visuals that they give you help with the numbers because the numbers are so big that it's hard to
like fathom. You can't even really understand.
Like, what's a billion? You know, like, who knows? And hopefully if one person makes some changes in their behavior going forward, i.e., Carly's kind of a patient zero, so hopefully she's one of the people that does it.
I'm patient zero.
Then it hopefully will, you know, make some changes in the world. So let's get into it. It's interesting.
I actually have zero patience.
I'm Victoria.
Hey guys, I'm Carly.
And I'm about to ruin Carly's day.
I am a shopper. That's what I do. It's what I love. I shop till I drop. That phrase was named for me.
What if I told you that your shopping is the reason your children in 2050 may not be alive?
That's unfair.
It's unfair. Their death or your your needs not being met if you make some changes?
That's unfair.
All right. So already you probably turned it off because that seems doom and gloom. However, it's super, super informative. So we know, but some of you may not know or not choose to believe, but Carly and I sit here knowing that global warming is a thing.
Yeah.
How we know that is all of our seasons are
shiitakied.
Confused. Very good.
Thank you.
Very confused. We haven't had a snow in a winter month in how many years? Like, I know. Snow.
The kids just asked, do you think we'll get our snowsuits out? It snowed one time we went sledding last year, but that's it. We had one snow day. That was it.
But growing up, don't you remember it was like
the blizzard of 96?
But the also ice storm. All the time. Like, not just one in the winter. We got a few.
Yeah. And it was every year.
Yeah. Having sleds was not a waste of space in the garage. Like, having gloves, and we had a whole snowsuit and all the things. Like, now it's, do we really need it?
You know? Yeah.
So, whatever your global warming beliefs are, it's a thing. So, believe it or not, shopping is one of the biggest reasons global warming is accelerating. And the world is getting scarier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So they break it down into four. They do it as if four rules of being a corporation. So, like, there's a narrator who's talking to you as if you are being hired by this big corporation and they're going to teach you how to make more, sell more, get more money.
Is it Morgan Freeman?
No, it's like a robot. It's like Siri.
Ah, darn it.
They break it down. Sell more is rule number one. Waste more is rule number two. Lie more is rule number three. And hide more is rule number four.
So this is sarcastic.
Yes.
Okay.
It took me a second with the narration for it to be, I was like, wait, what? Yeah. And then it made sense.
In my kids' words, this is sarcasm. Yes, it's sarcasm.
Sarcasm. So sell more is number one, and they just tell you the numbers. And so stores make new stuff. You know how you go into the clearance rack and you're like, oh my God, there's so much on sale and there's so many new things on the shelves.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I'm like, but where does it all go? Like, what do you do with the old stuff? Like, Lululemon says that we made too much.
Yes, clearance.
Yeah. Well, it's because, like, Gap makes 12,000 new items per year.
To
sell.
Sell.
12,000 items. That's whatever Gap makes, belts, clothes,
products,
accessories, new items. Yes. 12,000 in 365 days.
Yeah.
H&M makes 25,000
in
365 days. Zara makes 36,000.
Yeah.
Shein? 1.3 million items in 1 year.
That makes sense.
Because it's all trash.
It's all trash.
100 billion items a year, meaning fabrics, plastics, metals, are created in the garment industry alone. So in those types of stores, in fashion, in, you know, where you're going to go to the mall. 100 billion. So this is where the visual of the documentary helps, because they do it in, like,
yeah,
and a way where you're like, oh my God. So then they're like, okay, cool, we made all of these clothes, now what? How do we get them out there? And a lot of it was interviews with previous Amazon employees.
Mm-hmm.
And they have since left, but they're the one that you're talking to. And there was one woman who was the originator. I didn't even remember Amazon before, like, what it looks like now.
Yeah, no, I just know Amazon as it is today.
So at the very beginning, it was as primitive as you can possibly imagine, right? So she was a coder and was in charge of so many, like, departments of Amazon and trying to figure out how to make things easy for people, and then created the buy in one click marketing scheme.
Oh.
Because that's what the button used to say. Buy in one click.
Buy, yeah.
Like, I can do this in one click. Like, that's how easy it is.
Yeah.
And then that's how every store does their online stuff. One click, and you got whatever you want in your cart and all that stuff. So she was like, yeah, we were making futuristic things, and we were like, oh my God, this is amazing. And she was talking about Jeff Bezos, and they showed him in the very beginning. He looked super normal, and he was like a great boss in the sense that he was always asking for more and being like, cool, well, now what can you do? You're doing great. So she said they were creating all these things, and things were getting easier for people to do, and they were creating more revenue. And she was like, nobody was thinking of the end game. Nobody thinks of that.
Nobody right. ever in every industry. Nobody thinks of actually what's going to happen 50 years down the line. That's the problem we're having.
Exactly. So they were like, all they kept saying was, we were thinking of the life of all this stuff. Nobody was thinking of the death of it.
Right.
How do you kill a product? Where does it go? We make all of this stuff. Where does it go? Like, where's it going in the world? So that's basically the whole point of the documentary. So then they broke it down even more. And I just want to rattle these numbers off to you because this is where the global warming part comes into it when it comes to this first rule of sell more.
And she also knows how much I love numbers and math.
But they're so big, it's hard to fathom. So you're just going to be like, wow, things are just getting bigger. 2.5 million shoes are produced, are being made each hour.
Shut up. You shut your mouth when you're talking to me. Name that movie.
Oh.
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
Yeah. I'm seeing all of them.
Wedding Crashers.
Yeah.
You're a horrible person.
I know. I'm looking at her behind the desk.
It's literally the only contribution I have today.
Well, she's going to say it a lot. 68,731 phones produced each hour.
Oh my God. That is insane. Phones.
What? 1,091.
1,091.
Garments.
Uh-huh.
So, clothing.
Clothing.
Produced each minute.
No.
Minute. And then with all of that, 12 tons, which I can't, I think of an elephant when I think tons. I don't know how much an elephant is.
12 of those.
Yeah. 12 tons of plastic produced each second.
Yeah.
Second.
I mean, as horrible as that is to think about, I believe it.
I know. Oh, I couldn't believe it at first because I don't think about it. When we're clicking on Amazon, I'm not thinking about how many of those shirts they have in production.
No. And when you're saying like Gap makes 15,000 items a year.
12, but yes.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
But what you're really saying is new designs.
Yes.
Per year.
Yep.
So if you're getting confused about that, you're like, wait, there's like 97 million Gaps around the country. 15,000 doesn't seem a lot, or 12,000 doesn't seem a lot. It's because that's just new designs.
Yep.
Then they're making millions, if not a billion, articles of those designs to go all around the world.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. That is crazy.
And it's just changing a pocket an inch.
Right.
You know, like how things don't really change too much, but it's a different thing. How they ended this first like chapter is they were like, well, you just think, well, I don't want it. I'll throw it away or I'll give it away or whatever. Well, where's a way?
Yeah.
That was the premise. Where is a way? Where is it?
Away, away. Sorry.
Lin-Manuel, everyone. In the flesh.
Sorry, I got Moana on the brain.
You're welcome.
Away, away. Oh. Even Lin sings better than me right now.
My son. All right. So now we're on to waste more. Basically why things aren't produced well anymore. So like we've actually talked about this a few times. Refrigerators now don't hold up the same. Dishwashers don't hold up the same.
Everything's made cheaply, so they don't last as long, and they do that on purpose.
Right. But guess when they started doing that? 1925.
Shut up.
It was something called Phoebe's Cartel. January 15th, 1925. It was Phoebe's Cartel, and it was basically a bunch of senior executives from light bulb manufacturers, because 1925, the light bulb was a big deal.
Yeah.
And like, everybody needs a light bulb. Everyone does. So it was the senior execs. They made this decision to cut the life short of the light bulb.
Right.
To create more profit.
Because you need light, so you need to buy more light bulbs. So the shorter they last, the more you have to buy.
Exactly. Every light bulb produces 2,500 hours
Oh, yeah.
Of light.
Okay, yeah.
Right?
I've read that on the label.
They changed it to 1,000.
Yeah.
So in 1925, they reduced it that much.
A-holes.
Which equals, yes, that equals like crime. It's criminal to do that. It equals like them, you know, stick it to the man. It equals more waste because you're needing more light bulbs. You're needing more packaging for the light bulbs. Where does all of it go?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So we've been doing this since 1925. That to me was shocking.
Yeah, I would not have thought that. I would have been like, okay, it started in the 80s.
Right.
Because things that were made in the 50s and 60s are like forever. They last forever. I mean, you buy a house in the 50s and it is built on solid foundation and it is, it holds up like not even like houses today.
Oh my God,
no. It's, so I would not think that.
But it started with the light bulb and it's called planned obsolescence. What are we going to make that's not going to last for people to keep buying?
What are we going to make that breaks?
Mm-hmm. So then there was a whole section on Apple.
Well, we know that.
And people that were, you know, used to work for Apple, like coders and stuff like that. So 2007 was the first iPhone.
Really?
2007.
I know. We've talked about this because I totally miss my BlackBerry.
Not the first phone. The first iPhone.
No, I know. I know. I went from BlackBerry to iPhone and I want to go back to the BlackBerry.
And so their design was to make a new perfect item every year. And that's what they're still doing that. A new phone every single year. And it's not much different than the old phones.
Right.
Here's the big difference. There's a man named Kyle Wieners. What's up, Kyle? No. No ers. There's no ers. He is the creator of iFixit.
Wait, are we putting him on blast right now?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, he's in it.
Okay.
He's the creator of iFixit. They will fix your computers. They will fix your phones, whatever. This guy created it.
Like because, the Geek Squad.
Yeah. 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 The Geek Squad at Best Buy.
Yeah.
But but there's one on Township Line by Kid to Kid.
Yeah.
It's an iFixit.
Yes. You sort of just pass by it.
Well, if you notice, it's a little iFixit.
Right.
Like iPhone. Oh. iFixit. He's been in lawsuits since the moment he started. So it's basically this guy wants to fix your phone so you don't have to go buy another one. Don't create more waste. Don't create more products. I can fix your phone. And it became this widely known company that he has created. However, the lawyers of Apple, or whoever's really in charge, but he's been in lawsuits with Apple since the moment he got big because they don't want him fixing their phones. They don't want them making better products from like good product.
They want their products to break, so you buy another one.
So what did they do? They made all of their products more challenging to repair because of this iFixit guy. They made the phones harder. They made the screws not a regular screw. It's a star. So not a regular screwdriver can get in there to turn them to get into the, you know, guts of the phone.
So should we be thanking this guy or being mad at him for making it harder for everybody?
He's getting it done. It's just more challenging.
Yeah.
So then, and like the iPod case, not the iPod. Earbud. I always call it Earbud. Oh, that's the dog.
Earbud is the dog movie that plays basketball.
I'm constantly looking for my Earbuds.
AirPod.
And you know what? Now I'm never going to change it. The battery is, you know how you charge the holder and the earbuds? You can't get in there. You cannot get in that battery case unless you smash the whole thing and it's ruined.
Yeah, you're right.
So you have to buy new ones. What did they do? They took the cord away. They took the whole easiness of fixing, like he was like, I could fix your headphones easily. Then they took the cord away.
Yeah.
And then they made it into this battery operated thing that is impossible to get in to fix.
So what you're saying is corporations, I don't know why this is a light bulb for me, corporations don't really want to help you and make things easier for you by saying, oh, this new iPhone is just, it's got this, this, and this. It's really, really just trying to make things harder for you.
100%.
They are not on your side.
They're not on our side so much so that the next thing that I'm going to tell you was probably one of the worst things I took from the entire documentary. And I mean, half of it's about marketing. We know that. It's all an illusion. The marketing strategies are to get you as the consumer to just buy more. I mean, that's not shocking. but the corporate waste after holidays and big sales.
Mm-hmm.
And they're listing all the, oh, well, there's going to be a sale for Labor Day. There's going to be a sale for Memorial Day. There's going to be a sale for Veterans Day. There's going to be a sale for Christmas and Easter. And everything has a sale to make more, to buy more. The unwanted merchandise, which is vast because there aren't enough people with that much money to buy everything that they're producing. We just talked about the numbers of that. They have legally bound their employees at these stores to destroy. And there are some that talk about it in this of like, I quit because this was a perfectly good whatever that I could, we could donate. We could give to the, just people right outside. And they're ripping Kate Spade bags, ripping them apart so you can't resell them.
Oh
so
my
you
God.
Can't take them out of the trash. So there's a girl that went viral online going to these dumpsters out of these name brand places. I think she was actually in New York City mainly because it's like, there's just, it's easier. That might be a lie, though. I can't remember. I was on a lot of amoxicillin. And she shows online, like, Kate Spade bags just ripped apart with knives. And that's the employees have to do it. And not just Kate Spade, like, smaller stores, bakeries. Why can't you give all that to the shelter?
Right.
Just give it to them. They have to trash them. And what they do is they throw salt on them. They throw coffee beans. They throw everything in the trash. And they have to be recorded doing it. Like, it's so gross.
That's gross.
And it goes from the top name brands down to the small, you know, corner store at any city or suburban place or whatever. And that is what got me the most, because not only are you creating all this stuff knowing it's not going to all be purchased, mm-hmm. it's not like made to buy, but you don't want somebody that is maybe can't afford it in a donation type charity philanthropy way to enjoy the product you're supposed to be proud of putting out in the world.
Right.
You have to destroy them.
Because that would be devaluing what somebody else paid for.
Right.
That would be somebody paid $2,000 for this bag, but then this person gets it for free. So that bag's not really worth, well, we all know it's not worth $2,000, but
oh my gosh, it's worth,
I know,
maybe,
I know,
maybe $25, that Kate Spade bag or that Louis Vuitton bag. And those shoes,
I know,
they're not even worth $100.
I know. So it just devalues it to the corporation if you give it away or donate it.
Well, so I'm so glad you brought that up.
Yes, I'm so smart.
We're getting into lie more, which is rule number three. It's about exactly what you just said. So do you remember going to H&M in New York and being like, here's all my old clothes. So you're going to give me a 20% discount.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, I just feel really good about this. I'm going to donate my clothes. They're going to donate it and do it a good cause. And I'm going to get some percentage off of my next purchase because I love shopping here.
Right.
Well, where do those clothes go?
I mean, I thought they were going to the homeless.
No, because you can do it to Amazon. You can do it to places like H&M. Even Goodwill, this is a part of, unfortunately. Goodwill is a little bit more of, has a little bit more integrity, where it is going to people who need cheaper prices to be able to afford things for their families.
Wait, I'm going to stop you right there, because I just want to let you all know, I don't think anybody has spent more money at the Goodwill than we did.
Oh my God.
Over Halloween in just one shopping trip.
I love the Goodwill.
I think we spent $300 at Goodwill on costumes. And yeah. Then all of a sudden it was other things. And then it was a piece of furniture. And I was like, well, this is all, hopefully now I'm rethinking it. Is it all going to the Goodwill?
Well, what you bought did, because it went to you.
No, the money.
I'm not, so this isn't about the money of it.
Okay.
That's most likely going to the Goodwill. Yeah.
Well, usually somebody...
The money at Goodwill is staying with Goodwill.
Staying with Goodwill.
The
okay.
Red Cross is where it's no. Or iffy. What's the other one?
American Red Cross.
That you really shouldn't like
yeah.
donate to. Green Drop is also good too.
I do Green Drop on the daily.
So Amazon will tell you, and H&M will tell you that they're going to bring these clothes to better places, right? It's cheaper to dump into a landfill than to redistribute them. So all of them are going to these landfills.
The landfill. So they're lying.
100%. And they return 5 billion pounds of landfill waste, and that's just in the U.S. So that is not overseas.
It's a billion with a B.
That is a billion. And that's just the United States. Think about how big Brazil is. Think about the entire European continent. 5 billion is just the United States. And that is the number one reason for climate change, landfills. So all of these products and all of our good intention donations and returns, Amazon's returns are a part of that donation.
Oh, really? So those returns don't go back to Amazon to get rebought?
Not a lot of them. Not all of them. 5 billion of them are going to landfills. Yeah.
It's a perfectly good product. It's just the wrong size, or I just don't need it, or...
Not as easy as you think. And that's now what I'm thinking. Oh, I'll just return it. But now where's that return going?
No wonder they just put it in some plastic shopping bag at Kohl's and like throw it in a bin. How the heck do you re-put that on a shelf in Amazon?
It's going into the ozone layer is where it's going.
I'm like, there's no tag and there's no box. Sorry, I threw it out. They're like, it doesn't matter.
Because it's trash.
Duh.
Because it's trash.
As my 9-year-old self would say, doit, doit.
Oh man, we did say that. So that goes into Lymore. Okay. So companies like Coke pump out plastic for their, you know, their products, and then does commercials about how they're going to help the environment, right? Yeah. Can you picture those, like, people on a hill in a park drinking a Coke and then recycling it in the garbage? And, you know, the marketing people, they really bring in the environment to help gain trust from us to buy it, where you're like, oh, yeah, Coke is right. They're going to recycle how much of their plastic, whatever. And so me buying it it's okay because it's we're doing good things here. 100% a lie.
Yeah.
And it's like some green promise in the marketing world. It's like, well, we'll do the green promise. And then that's how they make their commercials. And it just means that they're going to make it like they're more hippy dippy.
Yeah.
You know,
hate hippy dippies.
So that connection, though, it's a lie. It's a lie. Know it now. They seem nice to look at, and you're like, all right, there's good in the world. It's a lie.
Yeah.
They're saying it's 100% a lie. So the recycle arrows?
Yeah.
Where it's like a little triangle, yeah, and they're all in the same. There's usually a number 6 in the center.
Okay.
That's for plastics. And that,
oh, yes,
technically means it can be reused. Mm-hmm. So you're supposed to recycle that. That particular plastic piece. The real meaning, well, that is that it's going to be collected and sorted or burned and buried.
What?
So it's going to be collected.
Yeah.
Because you're going to quote unquote recycle it. And it's technically, by the word recycle, it's going to be used into another product.
Right.
And so we're not making more, we're just reusing sustainability.
It.
Really, what's going to happen is they're going to burn it. And all of those fumes are going to kill the ozone layer, or they're going to bury it.
And then those plastic toxins are going to go into the earth.
Which we eat.
Yeah.
And which are in our water system, mm-hmm, which means landfill. Burn it means landfill. And that's what it means. She was like, recycling is a lie.
What am I supposed to do? I can't throw anything out. Stop buying.
I know. Stop buying. We're going to talk about what to do with it. So... I could go in depth of everything that I wrote down about it because I was like, oh my God, that's such a good thing. Oh my God, that's such a good thing to know. Oh my God. It's too much. You got to watch it. I'm gonna say so many things, but you really should watch this documentary. Greenwashing. That's what it's called. Greenwashing. The companies pretend to care about sustainability, but don't actually care. So there's natural environments in the ads. Kids, when they add kids to commercials, to talk about environmental and health and recycling
and, yeah,
and the future, exactly, and using just the color green. The color green in a commercial has a different effect on the consumer than the color red or purple.
I want to say, do they think we're that stupid?
Yeah.
And then also, but we are.
Yeah. 100%. 100%. There's this whole thing about the Amazon... Amazon.com. Amazon.com's climate pledge. And if you look on Amazon.com, there is a climate pledge. You can read all about it. It's a thing. But they tell you what actually happened. And it was basically this one coder who is in all the interviews being like, we didn't think about the future. We didn't think about where all these products were going to go. We didn't think about how easy it was going to be to buy. How were these people going to afford anything? She started to get her morals.
Yeah.
She started to fight with the battle of, I'm making a lot of money and I'm doing a really good job at my job. And oh my God, what am I doing to the world? And she started to like ask questions, and she started to rally other people behind her to be like, what can we do? Like, what can we do in these meetings? What can we talk about? And she would get shut down and she would get shut up.
Yeah.
And they were like, you want to be VP? Here's a list of rules that you need to follow. And it was basically, she was like, it was basically a piece of paper that said, don't speak up.
Yeah.
You must back us 100% no matter what happens, whatever anybody finds out, you need to back us. And if you can sign this paper, you can be VP. So it was all this stuff. She was planning a boycott and a strike, not a boycott. She was planning a strike with all these people about pledging for the climate, for let's Amazon, we can change A, B, C, and D. She's very smart. She was like, here's what all we have to do. Here it is. You don't have to work very hard. I did it for you. Here's all the things, blah, blah, blah. Can I talk to Jeff Bezos? Can I talk to him? Can I talk to him? All of the stonewalling, all of the stuff. She was like, all right, here's the amount, ridiculous amount of Amazon employees that are going to strike tomorrow. And then all of a sudden, Jeff Bezos got out and said, we're doing a climate pledge, Amazon. And I remember seeing it being like, oh, that makes me feel so much better about Amazon. They're doing good things. They're going to do whatever they said they're going to do. It's a 1% change out of the whole business. 1%. It doesn't even scratch the surface of change.
Yeah, so it's not doing anything.
No. No. So be cognizant of the plastic. Be cognizant of the fabric. Be cognizant of everything that you're buying. And we've talked about it, I think, before. I can vaguely remember, unless you and I talked about it on our own, but like the micro plastics and everything.
No, we've talked about it. Yeah.
Polyester is a huge one. And that, just when you think about it, if it's being burned or buried, it's just going right into our food. So whether you're buying it or not, whoever's buying it, it's going in there. It's still getting into your food and the water system and all that stuff. And the uprising, this is what got me too. I'm almost done my TED talk. The uprising in the world of neurological disorders, cancer, and chronic disease.
I mean, that's apparent.
Since online shopping has started. It's so, I mean, yeah. But there, it's so, you could think of so many reasons. I wasn't thinking shopping.
No, I wasn't thinking shopping. I was just thinking more products, more screens, more, you know, plastics being made, more things like plastics being ingested when women are pregnant.
Right.
From things like Coke bottles.
Yeah.
And plastic cups. And I would not put shopping and that together.
No, I didn't. I didn't know what this whole documentary was about. And I was like, wow, I need more amoxicillin.
You know, when I'm sick, I watch like Notting Hill or Love Actually or Bravo. I'm not sure. I'm like, I'm so sick. What documentary can I watch?
In
the words of Billy, grow up.
Being informed is
grow up.
Healing.
Shut up. Just grow up.
Number five, control more. Last rule, control more. So the way the corporations think control more is they try to control within their own organization. So they're trying to control their employees. They're trying to control the narrative, what they're putting out into the world for the consumers and just everyone. And then they're firing anyone who opposes because they don't want you involved in their schemes, right? But then how does control more go into us, go into our own climate pledges? And that's how they end it, where it's like, it's not fatal. We can change this.
We can change it.
2050 doesn't have to be the end of what we know, right? They're just, I think they're estimating 2050.
Well, I mean, we're going to be alive in 2050.
I know. Hopefully. So we talked about how they never thought of a plan for the end of life of products in any industry. There's a coder who was like, I helped code and I have to deal with this now forever. I forget what he coded, but he was like, I helped do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's on me.
Yeah.
Because we don't, it's not programmed in us to think, well, what happens at the end of this product's life? Because you don't want to think that. You don't ever, that means no profit. So the responsibility is on the consumer. It's on us. It's not on them because they're never going to take responsibility. So the responsibility of the global warming and the change of the earth and our futures and your children's future is on us.
Yeah.
Right. And we've been drilling that for years. They've all been saying that about recycling and blah, blah, blah. Don't worry about recycling. Literally don't worry about it. Because your one trash can of recyclables, it's not that like your one will make a difference. No, that one really won't. No matter what, they're not sorting it, they're burning it, or they're burying it. That's it.
Yeah.
Because they've lost control. So what can we do? We can pressure corporations to change how they do things. So speak up, use your voice. Go to an iFixit. Fix your products. Do not buy more.
I think our dad is like the number one customer at iFixit.
Yep.
He knows them by name. And he just, anytime he has a problem with a computer or a phone, that's where he is.
But
he
how many times have we rolled our eyes?
Oh, every time.
He's like, go, your screen broke? Here, I'll bring it to my guy. And I'm like, oh, dad, I'll just get a new one.
Well, yeah.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
Truly, not anymore. Fix your electronics, fix buying more and fixing more. I mean, it's just like relationships. That's the new culture. Don't fix it. Just get a new one.
Yeah.
Well, don't do that. So France, here's a little piece of hope. France has a law. It's an actual law that cup lids, like think Wawa,
mm-hmm.
have to be paper.
Oh.
Because just think of those coffee cups alone, plastic
use. Oh, I know.
I don't think of that.
Well, see, when we go down the shore in the summer in Jersey, they have a no plastic bag rule. And to me,
Havertown,
I'm annoyed by it.
Yeah, Havertown's like that.
At the same time, I'm like, oh yeah,
there's a reason.
There's a reason.
And like paper straws, I hate them. Buy metal reusable straws, but then reuse them and don't throw them out.
Yeah, we buy them all the time. I hate paper straws.
Oh, paper straws.
They don't work.
I know, but plastic straws are going to kill us.
Right, but paper straws should be banned as well, just for being stupid.
Especially for hot things.
Oh, my God.
So if France can do a law for no plastic cup, we can do, like, it's doable.
We can do it.
I know. I know.
We're not allowed.
I know. I know.
We can do so many things. We're just not allowed to do them.
Yeah. Try to stray from single-use products. Just anything that's a one and done.
Like Keurigs.
Oh my God, Keurigs are going to kill us all.
Yeah.
They've already started. They've already started.
Because they're just gross in general. They've killed your insides. Is that not what you were going to say?
Yeah, that too. Definitely that too. But they have a reusable, buy your coffee grounds, put the grounds in the little Keurig pod.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then you just have to clean the little mm-hmm. pod. Do that. It takes two more seconds.
For you saying that like your one trash can's not really going to help or do anything, there are so many things that your one thing will help.
100%.
So don't think of that as, oh, my one household's not going to do anything, so I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing.
Right. No, I'm fired up. That's not what I meant. But yes, you're right.
Can I add one?
Yeah, because you're not going to like this next one.
No, you go first. I'll end on a good note.
Okay. Buy less.
I'm rolling my eyes. Can
obviously
you see me?
And then that specific Amazon worker who quit her job due to her morals, she said, leave things in your cart for 1 month. And if you still want it, and if you still need it in 1 month, then buy it.
Oh, well, that's my life in a nutshell. Do you ever see those memes or those Instagram reels of your cart? I have 9 tabs open of different online stores with $300, $400, $500 worth of stuff in my cart that never get bought. And eventually, maybe one of them will. But I fill those carts up like it's the grocery shopping spree show.
Yeah.
Every single time. And I have to, sometimes I wake up and I'm like, wait, do I have packages coming today? I can't remember if I actually ordered them or not.
Oh my God.
But I don't, but I, if I really, really want it, I will then go back and order it.
Yeah. But just like, yeah, think of your closet. If anyone's closet's like Carly's, it's busting at the seams. Hangers have 4 and 5 dresses draped around them. Mine too, because my closet is small, and I do have a lot of clothes that I don't wear. But now I'm like, where are these going to go if I donate them?
I know.
What happens to them if they don't just stay here with me? So think about your purchases.
Here, wait. I'm going to add mine.
Oh, yeah. Quick. What is yours?
My way of helping is to shop small. Shop small. Don't go to the big stores, because the smaller you shop, the smaller amount of products they buy specifically for that store. So if you're going to a boutique, they only buy like 3 of each size. So once the 3 of each size is gone, it's gone.
Right.
So shop small, and then also reconsign your clothes. That is my biggest thing that I do, is that when I go through my closet once a week and I take things out of my closet to fit more in, I know that's my problem. I will go to Plato's Closet, which everybody knows of. I will go to Kid to Kid for the kids. I will go, you know,
Clothes Mentor.
I will reconsign. Yeah. And sometimes it's a joke, because I'm giving 5 bags of really good clothes and I get, I don't know, $2.50 back. But
it's true.
You know it's going to get resold.
Right.
So that is the difference. And I definitely say shop small instead of, you know, Walmart.
They show an entire thing. It was an Amazon worker who hit a camera, I guess in a shirt or something, that at the end of the day, not the quarter,
all day,
the end of the day, the amount of rollable bins full of unbought, unreturned, just brand new products, i.e. $400 Lego sets that were going to get destroyed.
Oh my God, that hurts. That hurts my heart, because I just know the amount that I have spent for this Christmas.
Yeah. Well, they're going to, what doesn't get bought that day, because they don't want to, they do the numbers of how much product they've wasted and how much profit they're making. I mean, he shows this giant Hogwarts like Lego set that's almost $400.
Yes, we have it.
Going to get destroyed, because it just was a waste. Shouldn't have made it, but oh well.
Yeah, something that I haven't done in a really long time, but I'm finding myself doing a lot more, because, you know.
Crying?
Like, yeah. Well, yeah, yes. I do that alone all the time, but eBay. eBay.
Yeah.
What was that movie, 40-Year-Old Virgin?
Yep.
When she had an eBay store and the guy, Jonah Hill, was like, I want to buy these. And she's like, you can't. It's an eBay store. That's one of the funniest movies. I have bought so many things on eBay this Christmas, because so much cheaper.
Yeah.
Like, I'll get a list of what somebody needs, and then I'll go and see how I do love a bargain. So that's one of the things I do love to do. But so it's a little bit used. So what?
Right.
Who cares?
I love the scratch and dent at IKEA or Best Buy. Get a computer with like a little scratch on the screen. Who cares?
If Andrew could live at a used bookstore, he would live at a used bookstore. Yeah.
My God, even books. Yeah. So not necessarily the happiest conversation, but it is so important, because it has so much impact on every single one of us. There's not one person not affected, from the very tippy top all the way down to the bottom. We are all affected by this. And it's something that has become so much more prevalent because of having computers in our hands at all times and easy to shop. Oh, you need that? I'll just go on Amazon real quick. Here you go. And it's, what they've done is incredible.
Yeah, click of a button. You have it in between 5 and 10 p.m. tonight.
Buy in one click.
Mm-hmm.
But what they're doing is actually also killing us. It's your shopping. I don't mean you, but like, yeah, you.
No.
Yeah. Our shopping is going to kill us.
Right. Is that the name of the documentary?
No. It's called Buy Now, The Shopping Conspiracy. Because it's all a lie.
I know.
And it's the visual of it, I cannot stress, is so devastatingly important, because the numbers are shocking, but then they do a really good job of letting you know how much that actually is. And there's, where is it? Ghana. In Africa. Ghana.
Yeah. Oh, no, I've heard of the...
Oh, you shook your head.
I don't know, but oh, like, I know. Ghana? Yeah, like, what's up? I know Ghana.
There's a girl, she makes clothes, she does fashion. They go to the beach to get the clothes. because that's where
I've seen this.
All of the Goodwill clothes go. She goes, stop sending us, stop. Please stop.
Yeah.
No, I can't make clothes that fast. And like we don't have food, but we have these tattered fabrics of clothing trash that are being donated, quote unquote. And she's like, we're drowning. We're drowning in donations.
Basically, you think you're doing a good thing and you're really doing the worst thing.
Because they're lying to us. It's not because we're just throwing it away. But like, I think that's what got me. What they were like, where's away? Where's away?
Because what we don't know, we don't know.
We don't think about
it. And we don't ask questions.
Don't want to.
Yeah.
But where is away? Where is it? Because they show you where it is.
I will.
It's bad.
I vow to wear outfits more than once.
Oh my God.
But that's my vow. I said it in front of everybody else. I will do that.
Okay. I vow to hold you to it in an annoying way.
I just brought you 8 pair of shoes that I need you to try on before I donate them, which I'm not going to donate now. I'm just going to stand on the street and see if anybody wants them.
Listen, all of your winter coats that you want to get rid of because Andrew is going to divorce you.
Mm-hmm.
So go to Philadelphia and just give them out.
Give them out. Oh, what a good idea.
And do it with the kids.
Yeah.
Just give them out because nobody cares what they look like. They need to be warm, you know, like,
yeah,
there's just so many ways and do yourself and your neighbors a justice by looking up the ways, because I am so upset by this documentary in a good way. I think that's the point of it, is to get people.
Yeah. They want to get people hype.
Awake. Hype's a good word for it.
Yeah. They want to get you hype
to, I'm the change. I was like, I was watching the whole thing going, but how can we fix it?
Yeah.
What you're saying is so detrimental. And you're also telling me that they're never going to stop. These, you know, Jeff Bezos is never going to stop making stuff, making money. No. So how do we fix it? And they're like, it's you.
Stop buying Shein. Stop buying Temu.
Oh my God.
Like, just stop buying, because that stuff, they make it so cheap so that you buy multiple things. Just don't do it. Yeah.
They
not
have
to mention the toxins that are in it.
But. Well, there's a illegal law or a law that you're not allowed to send our trash overseas. Like, we're not allowed to do that.
Yes, because it's horrible.
Well, there's a guy who follows the trash. That's his job. What is his name? A waste something. A waste. WASTE. And he follows these bins of trash being shipped on boats overseas from us because it's cheaper for us and these corporations to do it, but it's illegal. So they just slip them $100, 100 American dollars. They'll do anything, right?
Yeah, we're a bully.
So he follows these electronics to this place in some very small village, and they just have a piece of fabric mask and they're breaking them. And he was like, what you don't understand is that them breaking these little computers, they're releasing so many horrible, cancerous, ozone-killing gases into their faces and into the world.
Yeah.
They're just trying to eat that night. They're just trying to have dinner.
Right.
You know, so they're just doing their jobs. And he's videoing it going, this is so illegal. Not what they're doing. The fact that we are why they're doing it.
Yeah.
And it's just electronics.
So I've never owned a new iPad. I have only ever owned a refurbished one.
Yeah.
So there are ways that your kid can get, I'm quoting, a new iPhone or a new iPad. It's just called refurbished. It comes in the same box. Yep. It was somebody else's. They wiped it. They cleaned it. It's brand new in the box. It's just refurbished. There are ways to do it.
Yep.
And then your son and your daughter still have a new electronic thing, but it's not new.
Buy on Facebook Marketplace.
I was just going to say.
Do it.
Yeah. Lewis is going to have the Christmas of his life this year because of eBay.
Lewis, don't listen to this.
Trust me. He doesn't.
Ever.
Even all right.
When you're 30.
All of that being said, we do, even though that's depressing, we are going to play a quick little game. So it's not just like down in the dumps. It's called Brand Me, Baby.
Oh, my God.
You ready? I'm going to say some facts. Victoria is going to guess the answer.
Okay.
Okay. What did McDonald's originally make before hamburgers? What did they sell?
Oh my God. Hot dogs?
Yeah.
No way.
Yes.
I just picked the opposite.
And I'm not even going to give you multiple choice. Like, you literally just have to pick out of the air.
Wait, really? A hot dog?
McDonald's used to just make hot dogs.
Crazy.
Ben and Jerry's was originally going to be a what company? Not ice cream. It used to be a... If you get this, I'll know that you read them.
Cookies?
No.
I don't know.
Bagels.
Oh.
Ben and Jerry's was a bagel company.
Huh. I prefer ice cream.
Wait, the Lamborghini? Now everybody knows what a Lamborghini is.
Car.
Mm-hmm. What did they start out making? Not Lamborghinis, which is like the sexiest car in the world. What did it used to make? In the car family.
In the car family, but not a car. I don't know, like a tractor?
Yeah, farm equipment.
Stop.
Yeah.
Lamborghini?
Yeah, it's like, get your farm equipment from Lamborghini. And then it completely switched over.
Is that why they're like, this is the Lamborghini of...
I guess so.
Lawnmowers. Sorry. I'm amazing.
Well, you're lucky. Okay. This one jar of this sweet spread is sold every 2.5 seconds.
Peanut butter?
2.5 seconds. You're close. Sweet.
Nutella?
Nutella.
No way.
Every 2.5 seconds, Nutella is being sold.
Wait, ready? It just sold. It just sold. It just sold. I mean, I get it. I love it, but holy. You know there's no hazelnuts in there?
Yes, I know. It's everything's fake. Everything you know is fake.
Yeah.
What remains the best-selling toy of all time?
What?
Of all time. Toy.
One toy.
Mm-hmm.
One.
Mm-hmm.
In all of the decades.
Do you want me to say it again? The best-selling toy of all time in all the decades that have ever lived.
No shopping makes Carly a mean girl. The Barbie?
You're close, but not at all close.
G.I. Joe?
The Rubik's Cube.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I guess that makes
sense. Still, if you just think, go to Five Below. There's like five different kinds of Rubik's Cubes.
I feel like that's, yeah, now they're like $20 each.
I know.
I feel like that's like, I got my kids all these things. They just want to play with the boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why do we make other toys, you know?
This one is going to crush you.
I can't wait.
How many glasses of Coca-Cola are, they say, knocked back every second, every second of the day, how many glasses are being consumed? Glasses.
Okay, so like an 8-ounce glass.
Mm-hmm. Every second of the day.
Like a 6-pack? 6? 12?
Not per person. In the world.
Why don't you just tell me?
Okay. 8,000 glasses of Coca-Cola are being consumed every single second of the day. At one time, there are 8,000 people drinking Coca-Cola every second.
Oh my God. Second.
Second.
So like a new 8,000 start the second.
And right now.
Wait, your seconds are a little fast. But yes. Oh my God.
All right, last one.
I don't like that.
What company uses over 93 million gallons of milk per year, which is the equivalent of 155 Olympic-sized swimming pools? What company uses 155 swimming pools
a year
of milk a year?
What company? So it's got to be a dairy company, right? It's got to be...
No.
It's not a dairy company?
Think of something else. Go a different route.
Milk? Cereal? Company?
No.
I don't know.
Starbucks.
Oh.
Starbucks uses 155 Olympic-sized swimming pools of milk per year.
So here's how I think that's a good thing. It helps our farming industry. However,
it's almond milk, oat milk. Oh, that's all farm.
Well, does it say cow or plant? Just say in general?
No, it just says gallons of milk.
All of it's farmed in some way. What I think of is how many like gallons are in plastic
containers.
So hopefully it's being distributed in a smarter way.
Isn't that crazy?
But oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even like that visual. I hate milk. That's gross. Fun facts with Carly Mayo.
It was called Degman. Brand Me, Baby.
I'm branded forever. My heart hurts. It's burning. No amount of Aquaphor will help. So thank you for going on this journey with us. However, the journey is not over. So please watch by now The Shopping Conspiracy on Netflix. Watch it. Just do it. And then make a decision from there of what you would like to do to contribute to all of our futures.
Yes. If nothing Victoria said to you today hit home at all and you don't want to make a change at all, watch the documentary.
I mean, I get it. No. I haven't stopped thinking about it because I've been shopping. It's been Cyber Monday. It's been Black Friday very recently.
Well, maybe you should have told me to watch this before I just did 4 days of shopping.
Well, you're a little tougher to change. So I think it will happen in its own time. But
I would have still maybe done it, but maybe with more of a conscience.
Honestly, this was planned for Tuesday.
Oh, that's right.
And I got sick and I wanted it to come out on Cyber Monday. However, life gets in the way. So here we are. It's after Cyber Monday. We still have a lot of shopping to do if you're anything like me. So make some better decisions. Make some proper choices. Cut down on your buying.
Or just do some research before you make any of those decisions. Yeah.
Christmas doesn't have to be gluttonous, you know? Carly disagrees. We tried to cut down on our spending this year. So
we also tried to cut down on the time of this podcast.
Yeah.
Gosh darn.
I have a lot to say. You know? These are the only people that will listen to me.
Because they can't interrupt you.
Exactly. All right. So just remember, you are always fit to be real.
And always allowed to be a little extra. But just buy enough for what you need. Don't buy extra.
Just be
extra in your personality.
Right.
But you don't need extra.
Be frugal in your pockets and extra in your razzmatazz.
Yeah, just, you got the riz.
The razzle dazzle.
You got the, as Melody would say, Mom, you got the riz.
Yeah, I don't think you got the riz.
It's not a disease.
It is for you. I think it is for you.
Be extra internally.
For legal reasons, we have to tell you that this podcast is meant for entertainment and educational purposes only. We are not healthcare professionals. For all of your health, wellness, fitness, and self-care needs, please refer to the medical professional in your life, your primary care physician, your therapist, a certified coach, whoever it may be. And then let us know what they say, because I guarantee we need to know it too. Okay?
Okay, bye.